Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton and Sam Moore. We'll join the Great Gildersleeve in just a few seconds. The food shortage may be causing a lot of headaches, but I've noticed one thing. It's making many of our American women far better cooks. And that's particularly true of those inventive women who are finding new ways, every day, to please family appetites with Pabstette, the delicious golden cheese food. Pabstette, you see, spreads, slices, and melts, so you can use it in all sorts of tempting ways to put extra appetite appeal and extra nourishment into wartime meals. Pabstette melts smooth and blends into tasty casseroles and baked macaroni dishes, makes savory cheese sauces for vegetables, eggs, and fish, spreads easily at room temperature to make grand sandwich fillings, and when chilled and sliced, Pabstette is an appetizing accompaniment for any fruit or pie dessert. Yes, the rich, satisfying cheddar cheese flavor of mellow Pabstette adds real variety to meals and adds extra nourishment too, because Pabstette helps provide bodybuilding proteins, food energy, milk minerals, and important vitamin A. So tomorrow, be sure to get Pabstette. Ask for the delicious golden cheese food, Pabstette. Now, let's join the great man and humble servant of the people, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. It's a brisk morning in December, and the commissioner is elected to walk from his home to the office, a decision he began to regret after the second block. He arrives now at the water department, facing a hard day's work, and feeling as if he had already done one.
Good morning, Bessie.
Good morning, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, where are we now?
Here are those letters you didn't sign last night.
What are they?
People who haven't paid their bills.
I suppose they're all the same. I don't need to read them all.
Yes, it's the regular form letter.
Dear madam, it is my unpleasant duty to call your attention to the fact that your water bill still remains unpaid. Unless payment in full is received not later than December 15th, service will be discontinued. With best wishes for the holiday season, very truly yours. Very good. Pen?
Here.
Thanks. Wait a minute. Mrs. Leela Ransom? Why, I might have signed this without noticing.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Gildersleeve.
I can't send her this.
It's the regular form letter.
I know, but I think it might be a little more tactful. I've been thinking of revising that letter anyway. How long has Mrs. Ransom, been in arrears?
7 months.
7 months?
Well, I thought she was a special friend of yours, so I didn't say anything before.
Bessie, in this department, there are no special friends. I've run this office without fear or favor for anyone. You know that. Well, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Then say it. Equal treatment for all, that's my motto. Hew to the line, let the chips fall where they may. Bessie, don't say anything about this to anyone.
I wasn't going to.
In the wrong hands, you know, this could look bad.
Would you like to dictate another letter to Mrs. Ransom?
No. Get her on the phone. I'll settle this right now. 7 months. When you get her, let me talk to her. By George, there'll be no favoritism in this department.
Just a moment, please. Mr. Gildersleeve calling.
Mrs. Ransom?
Throckmorton? Gracious, you sound so formal, I'd hardly know it was you.
Well, hold the line a minute. All right, Bessie, I've got the call. You can put your phone down.
Oh, I forgot.
Pardon the interruption. There's a little matter of business I'd like to discuss with you, Leela.
Oh, good. I love it when you discuss things with me. How about tonight?
You don't understand. This is strictly business.
Fine. You'll come to dinner and we'll have a nice long evening afterwards.
But, Leela...
7 o'clock then, and I won't take no for an answer. I'll be expecting you, you hear? Goodbye.
Leela! Leela!
Operator?
Guess I told her. Call my house, Bessie, and tell Bertie not to expect me for dinner. I'm working late tonight.
Well, Uncle Mort, aren't you a little dressed up tonight?
Nothing of the kind, Marjorie. A clean shirt for dinner is quite a common practice in civilized communities. Besides, I'm going out.
Yeah, he's going next door for supper.
Oh-ho!
There's nothing to oh-ho about. I'm seeing Mrs. Ransom about business affairs.
Now, Uncle Mort, you don't have to make up excuses.
I'm not making up anything. I have to see Mrs. Ransom about her water bill. It's overdue.
How did supper come into it?
That was her idea.
I see. Well, how do you get from supper to business? Thank you for a delicious dinner, and by the way, you owe me $8.50?
Right. I never thought of that.
Or you could say, what delicious water. Is it expensive?
Now, see here, Marjorie.
If you ask me, you should talk about the bill before supper.
I'm not asking you, Leroy, and I'm not asking your sister either. As water commissioner of this town, I am entirely capable of collecting my own bills. Now, let's drop this subject.
Okay. Can I work at Peavy's drugstore to get some Christmas money?
That's entirely up to Mr. Peavy.
He says it's all right with him.
What do you mean by asking him without my permission?
Gosh, I had to start somewhere.
Well, if Peavy is reckless enough to want you again after last time, did he say he'd take you?
Yeah, if you say I can do it. Will you go and see him right away?
Not right this minute, no.
Well, I have to do my Christmas shopping. Don't you want a Christmas present from me, Unc?
I'll go and see Peavy when I get a chance, Leroy. Don't pester me about it.
All right, if you want me to be the only kid in town that doesn't give his friends anything for Christmas. Piggy's probably got something for me already.
What are you giving Piggy?
I think I'll give him a lousy transfer set like he gave me last year.
That's not the Christmas spirit, young man.
What did you give Piggy last year?
A box of itching powder. Boy, that was a real present.
Leroy.
I'll get it. Probably for me. Hello? Oh, hello, Sally. You want to talk to Marge? Just a sec. Hey, you don't happen to know what Piggy's getting me for Christmas, do you? Well, you don't have to be so tough about it.
Give me the phone.
Gosh, you'd think she had something important to say. Ask her what Pig's giving me, will you?
We have other things to talk about, Leroy.
Yeah, fellas.
Be quiet, young man.
Hello, Sally. What's new? Oh, my goodness. When? When will he get out? Oh, the poor darling.
Well?
Do you suppose I could go see him? Well, if you hear any more, let me know.
Hey, ask about Piggy's present.
Goodbye.
You're a fine sister.
Oh, shut up.
What was that all about, Marjorie?
Oh, nothing. Can I go out tonight?
Out where?
Wally Hoff's in trouble, and I want to go and see him.
What did he do? Smash another jukebox?
He never smashed a jukebox.
He did, too, at Brownie's Beanery.
I wouldn't put it past him. Not that I think it's such a bad idea.
He put a quarter in, and nothing happened. He just shook it too hard, was all. And besides, this has nothing to do with jukeboxes.
Well, what is it?
He was arrested for speeding.
Marjorie, I've told you before, that boy's no good. This escapade confirms my judgment.
Your judgment makes me sick. Why, the only reason Wally's in jail is he didn't want to tell his mother he was arrested.
What's that got to do with it?
She would have paid his fine. Could I have my January allowance?
No, my dear, I'm not giving you an allowance to operate a bail bond agency.
Could I have my January allowance, Unc?
No.
I wouldn't bail anybody out of anywhere.
Of course you wouldn't.
I don't blame him for that.
Oh, you and Leroy are both alike, thinking about little things like money and Christmas presents and itching powder. You don't ever think about the biggest thing in the world.
Well, what is the biggest thing in the world, my dear?
Love. And you haven't ever been in it.
Marjorie.
No, you haven't. Your idea of love is to go next door and collect a water bill. Well, go and collect it.
Oh, there he is. Let me see now. Table set, candles lit, everything ready. How do I look? I'll just let him wait a little. Coming. Now don't let him think you're too eager, darling.
Oh.
Well, aren't you going to come in, Throckmorton? You can't just stand there staring all night.
Yes.
Well?
Maybe I didn't make myself clear, Leela. This is strictly business.
I understand, Throckmorton.
Well, that thing you're wearing.
Like it?
It's gorgeous, but it's not very businesslike.
I think it's time you learn, Throckmorton, that you can't judge everything by appearances. Just leave your things there and come in the parlor. Dinner will be ready shortly. Let's sit here by the fire, shall we?
Leela, what I came here to talk to you about.
Now, Throckmorton, not before dinner.
But, Leela.
Not on an empty stomach. Sit down. Sit here beside me.
Well, this isn't what I came for. However...
You know, I think perhaps you've had the wrong idea about me, Throckmorton. I'm afraid you've had the wrong idea all along.
What wrong idea have I had?
Well, you've always treated me as if I were a child without a thought in my pretty head. I'm not a child, you know. I'm over 21.
I know that, but...
And I'm not as empty-headed as I may appear. We Southern girls are brought up differently, you know. But we think about things, too, even if we're not from New England.
Who said anything about New England?
Isn't your friend Miss Goodwin from New England?
That I couldn't say. Leela, what I wanted to speak to you about...
Now, Throckmorton, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Don't let's get into any discussions. Let's just sit here and enjoy the fire till dinner.
All right. I could put another log on.
No, I like it just the way it is. Don't move. I love the fire, don't you?
Yes, it's nice.
That's why I always have candles in the evening. Candlelight seems to go with fire somehow.
Yes, it's nice. It makes you look nice, too.
Oh, Throckmorton, let's not talk about business or anything unpleasant this evening. Let's just sit here and talk about good books.
Books?
I read one only last year. I forgot what it was called, but it was the best book. Maybe if you'd mention a few, I'd remember. It was about this woman. Well, it really doesn't matter because I have another book now. Oh, I happen to have it right here on the table. See, it's by Raymond Graham Swing.
Sound man.
He's awfully deep. I haven't started his book yet, but I just love him, don't you?
Very sound. Of course, there are one or two minor points on which I differ with Swing.
Do you, Throckmorton? Tell me about them.
Well, you have to realize, Leela, that the world situation today is very complicated. Now, you take, for instance, when that happens, what you have is inflation.
Is that bad?
That's just what I've been telling you.
Oh.
The only people who are going to benefit by inflation are the boys who are down there in Washington lobbying for it right now. The people who are going to pay for it are you and I, the widows and the orphans and our men fighting abroad.
You know, Throckmorton, I love it when you explain to me about things. You're so serious.
I wish you'd be serious for a minute.
Oh, I am, darling. I've listened to every word. I guess it's just that I don't understand financial things very well.
No, I guess you don't. Speaking of which, there's a little financial matter I've been wanting to take up with you all evening.
Throckmorton, if it's about my water bill, I've been intending to pay that right along.
Well, I don't like to mention it.
But there have been so many others. I don't know why it is. Everybody keeps asking me for money. I don't know what to do. Here I am, a widow, without anybody to help me, and people keep coming here threatening me.
Leela, I didn't mean...
I'm all alone, without a friend in the world, and I just don't know where to turn.
Leela, I'm your friend, Leela.
Are you, Throckmorton?
Of course I am. And Judge Hooker, he's your friend, too. And your lawyer. You ought to go to him. Have you consulted the judge about this?
No, I'm afraid to.
Afraid of Hooker? That old goat?
He's so conservative, Throckmorton. I was afraid to tell him.
Tell him what?
Well, you see, I had this little insurance from Beauregard.
Yes?
It wasn't much, but when I was down in Savannah, my cousin Harry offered to invest it for me. Cousin Harry is a financial man.
Leela, what kind of stock did he sell you?
Well, he says it's a small company with a big future.
I know, but what kind? What is it?
Now, Throckmorton, if you're thinking about your water bill, you needn't worry. I'm going to pay it.
But when? When?
Just as soon as television comes in.
Oh, brother.
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in a few seconds. Meanwhile, If you're always battling mealtime monotony, I suggest you get acquainted, but soon, with Pabstett, the delicious golden cheese food. Pabstett adds appetizing variety to menus in 100 different ways. For example, use Pabstett in making a macaroni casserole and see how good-tasting this point-saver dish can be, with the rich, mellow cheddar cheese flavor of Pabstett baked in. Or melt Pabstett into a smooth, creamy cheese sauce and see how wonderfully appetizing it makes even the plainest of vegetables or the simplest of fish and egg dishes. Pabstett spreads, slices, and toasts to perfection, so use it to add a golden touch of flavorful cheese goodness to sandwiches or to those crackers you serve with desserts. And don't forget this about Pabstett. It is wholesome, nourishing, and easy to digest. So tomorrow, look for the familiar round, flat package on your dealer's shelf. Look for and ask for Pabstett, the delicious golden cheese food of 100 uses. Don't forget, the name is Pabstett. Let's rejoin our friend, the great Gildersleeve. We find him on his way to confer with Leela Ransom and her financial advisor, Judge Hooker. En route, he stops at PV's drugstore to settle a financial problem for his nephew.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this afternoon?
Not a thing, thank you. I'm on my way to Judge Hooker's office. I just stopped in to talk to you about Leroy.
Oh, yes. He thinks I ought to have someone to help me during the Christmas rush.
Well, you can have him if you want him. When does your Christmas rush begin?
Mr. Gildersleeve, this is it.
Well, now, I've seen you busier than this, Peavy.
Yes, but that was before the war. I can't get the stock to build much of a holiday trade this year.
You're not trying. People will give away anything for Christmas this year if you put on a little sales pressure.
Well, no, I don't know. I've got a display in the window right now one of the wholesalers has been pushing. Christmas proposition, but I'm doubtful about it.
Mm-hmm. Let me see it.
Right here, Mr. Gildersleeve. What do you think of it?
Well, let's see. This Christmas, why not give a mustard plaster? I see what you mean, Peavy.
Had it there for 3 days and haven't sold a plaster. You don't happen to need one.
Not at the moment, no. If things are that bad, I don't see why you need Leroy either.
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Gildersleeve, Leroy attracts a certain amount of trade for me.
An undesirable type of customer, though, isn't it, Peavy?
Well, yes and no.
I suppose they buy a certain number of sodas.
Well, to tell the truth, I take a loss on those, but when their mothers send them out for vitamin tablets...
Peavy, you're a pretty foxy old son of a gun.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, yes, you are. I bet you do pretty well here.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that either.
You can't fool me. You're a smart businessman. I'll bet nobody's ever put one over on you.
Well, I made one investment I'll regret to my dying day.
What was that?
I bought a job lot of art calendars for the year 1913. It was 1918 before I got rid of them.
What about stocks, Peavy? You ever take a flyer on anything like that?
Well, in the bull market some years ago...
1929?
No. This was the year that Taft got in. I bought 10 shares of an automobile stock that year. Thought it looked like the auto was going to be quite a thing.
By George, you are smart, Peavy.
Well, anyway, I bought those shares for $9.30 apiece, and inside a week they started to go up.
Did you hang on?
I sure did, Mr. Gildersleeve. I rode that stock from $9.30 right up to $10, and then I made my killing.
Killing? You made $7 on the whole deal.
Yeah, that's broker's commission. But I considered myself well out of it.
And you've never been tempted since?
Well, now, I wouldn't say that. There are going to be some big developments after the war, Mr. Gildersleeve.
You think so?
Oh, yes. Plastics, air conditioning, helicopters. But I've got a little private hunch of my own. I don't know why, but I just feel it.
What is it?
Television, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, Peavy, I've come to the wrong place for advice. I'll see you later.
Oh, it's Throckmorton.
Good afternoon, Leela. Judge.
I trust we may proceed now.
Go right ahead, Judge.
Delighted as I am to have you here, Gildersleeve, I frankly do not see where you enter into this. However, I've been over the matter with Mrs. Ransom here, and it appears that she has been the victim of an unscrupulous promoter of Wildcat stocks.
Judge, you're speaking of my cousin, Harry Carew.
If you'll pardon my saying so, your cousin Harry is a Carook.
Well, I never looked at it that way.
Be that as it may, it appears that she is now in possession of some 10,000 shares of Blue Sky Television.
Worth about 10 cents.
And she is also, unfortunately, in debt to the extent of some $500.
515.
Under the circumstances, I see only one solution. Apply for a loan.
A loan? That's the silliest thing I've ever heard. Leela, don't you do it.
Now look here.
She's already in debt, and you advise her to go into debt still further?
She asked my advice, and that's it.
That's right, Throckmorton. You told me to take the judge's advice, you know.
Yes, but I didn't know the advice was going to be so idiotic.
Very well. What would you have her do, Mr. Morgenthau?
Sell the stock. Get rid of it. And use the money to pay off the debts.
But the stock isn't worth anything. You just said so yourself.
Oh, well,
I declare, I just don't know what I'd do without you gentlemen to advise me.
Now this way, she simply gets a loan of $500 from the bank, cleans up her debts, and arranges to pay the bank back so much a month. What could be simpler?
Yes, what could be simpler?
What could be simpler? You see, Leela, I told you you ought to consult the judge about this.
Now I'll arrange for the loan with the First National of Summerfield. Harvey Rudge down there is a friend of mine.
Friend of mine, too.
I have all the forms here. All Leela has to do is sign them. I'll fill in the rest. Then in the morning, I'll go down to the bank first thing, and the money will be deposited into her account by noon.
I declare the judge thinks of everything. Do I sign now?
Right here. Right on this line.
I just love signing my name to things.
You want to watch that.
I feel so official. Leela Ransom. There.
Now, there's just one thing.
I was just going to say, Judge, what are you going to use for security?
She doesn't necessarily need any security if she has a co-maker. Leela, have you any relatives or anyone whom you could ask to guarantee your note in the event that you, failed to pay it?
Well, there's Cousin Harry.
Somehow I feel that Cousin Harry is not the man.
Is there anyone else?
I can't think of a soul, Horace. Not a soul. That's the way it is, I guess. When you need a friend, they're not there. Here I am, alone in the world.
Now, Leela, you're not alone. I'm with you, Leela. I told you that.
Leela, I will sign the note.
You will not. I'll sign it. Give me that pen.
Oh, I couldn't think of letting you.
We'll both sign it.
I sign first.
Oh, no, you don't.
Horace, I just don't know how I can ever thank you for this.
There.
You too, Throckmorton. Let me dip the pen for you.
Watch out. You'd better blot that.
Is that all, Judge?
That's all, Leela. Everything will be attended to.
My, it's just so easy, isn't it? I had no idea. Well, if you'll excuse me, I guess I'll be running along. I want to get to the stores before they close.
Oh, Leela.
Yes?
If you're planning to do any shopping, I wouldn't draw on that loan before the check goes through.
Oh? Well, I can charge it. You're darlings, both of you. Goodbye.
Horace?
Yes, Gildy?
If she shouldn't make good on that note.
I was just thinking the same thing.
You signed it first.
That makes no difference. Under the law, you're equally liable.
Oh.
The only security she's got in the world is that stock that Cousin Harry sold her.
Well, cheer up, Judge. In 6 months, we may be in the television business.
Leroy, you're going to have to move out of here now. I'm going to set the table for supper.
Wait a minute, Bertie. I'm almost finished.
What is that long thing you're writing? Is you got a girl, Leroy?
Are you kidding? This is my Christmas list.
Christmas list? My, my. Coming or going?
This is the stuff I'm going to ask for. I might not get all of it.
What do you think your uncle is? A millionaire?
No, but I'll bet he's pretty close to it.
Boy, you is crazy. That's all.
Good evening, Bertie. Is Leroy bothering you?
No, sir.
We were having an argument just now, Unc. I say you're pretty close to being a millionaire, but Bertie says you're not.
No offense, Mr. Gillsleeve.
None, Bertie. Young man, I have never come anywhere near being a millionaire. And I never in my life felt farther from it than I do at this moment.
I told you, Leroy.
What brought up this interesting question?
I was making out my Christmas list. A few things I especially wanted. Would you care to,
Not now, Leroy.
Yoo-hoo!
In here, Marjorie.
Evening, Miss Marjorie.
Good evening, Bertie. Hello, Leroy. Hello, Uncle Mort, you lovely uncle.
Well.
What happened about Wally Hoff, Marge?
It's all fixed. Isn't it wonderful?
You mean he's out of jail?
He was only in jail about 10 minutes last night. Chief Gates gave him a warning and let him go.
Well, I hope this will be a lesson to him.
Unc, wouldn't you just glance at my list? It might give you some ideas.
Well, I'll have to do it sometime. Have you got a list, Marjorie?
No, but I've decided what I want.
All right, then. We'll take Leroy first. Let's see. Motor scooter? No.
But, Unc!
No, Leroy.
It'll save gas, Unc. 100 miles to the gallon.
No, Leroy. And don't start to argue so high on your list or you'll be out of breath at the bottom.
Okay.
Scooter, commando helmet, electric football game, set of boxing gloves, pair of skis, ski poles, set of drums. I've told you I wouldn't allow drums in the house, Leroy.
Does that mean those other things are okay?
Far from it.
Well, some of them?
Let me finish. Drums, chemistry set, magic set, wood-burning outfit, set of shoulder pads. What are they?
So I won't get injured playing football.
Young man, I'm thinking of an injury for you, an injury that shoulder pads will not prevent.
Oh, now, Uncle Mort, it's just a list.
That's right. It's just a list.
Shoulder pads. Durfee's game book. Well, a book.
Yeah, it comes apart and you play checkers inside of it.
I might have known. Game book. Basketball. Typewriter. Typewriter?
Just a suggestion.
Typewriter. And a pair of fur gauntlets. Well, thank heaven for one sensible item. Now, Marjorie, have you a list?
No, Uncle Mort, I haven't. But I thought about it, and I know what I want.
All right, let's hear it, my dear.
Well, I don't want anything but war stamps this year.
What?
Well, you know, the government has been saying we should all give war bonds for Christmas.
Yes.
And I've been thinking about it, quite a lot. When you think how hard the soldiers and sailors are fighting, and the people in the factories giving up holidays so they can keep turning out the things to fight with, it just seems to me that all those people are really trying. They're really trying to win. And then I think of us. I don't see how we can sit back and let them try and try so hard while we only try a little. So if it's a good idea to give war bonds for Christmas, if we really mean it and really want to try, I think we ought to go all the way. Anyhow, I don't want anything else this year.
I'm very proud of you, my dear.
Gosh.
That's all right, Leroy. I don't want you to...
Hey, give me that list, Unc.
Leroy, you don't have to do that. Nobody expects a little boy to give up everything.
I'm not so little. I can try too, can't I?
Oh, Leroy, you're such a darling.
Hey, cut it out.
Well, well, well. Bertie, what do you think of that?
I think we got quite a nice family, Mr. Gillsleeve.
So do I, Bertie. So do I. How about you people who are listening? Are there a lot of meaningless presents on your Christmas list? Why not replace them with war bonds and stamps? The one present that will have real value 10 years from now. The one present that will hasten the day when we'll have a real Christmas again. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Music heard on this program was directed by Claude Sweetin. This is Brian Hendrickson speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to listen in again next Sunday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This presentation of the Great Gildersleeve starred Lee Delaney as the Great Gildersleeve. Missy Carl played Leroy, with Cindy Martin Asher as Marjorie. Pam Hungate was Leela Ransom, and yours truly, Bob Hutchison, played Mr. Peavy. Nick Helton was the judge. Lurlin Lahr was Our Bessie, and Lisette Ralph played Birdie. Also appearing, Joy Jackson. Sound effects by Janet Whitaker and John Heflin. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. This is Bob Hutchison inviting you to join us again next time for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.